people who follow the way of God will be people who have a right to exist. Otherwise, we as a church contribute to the religious division that is existing in the world at large, and we have no right to really exist and to teach as we're teaching. God in His Word taught us by way of specific commands and general principles. Take Noah, for example, back there in Genesis chapter 6. Specifically, he is told the length of, the width of, and the height of that ark to build. Specifically, he is told to use gopher wood. But if we were to search throughout our whole lifetime, we could not find the tools that God told him to use in getting that wood and putting it together for that ark. Did he use pins? Did he use some iron tools? Did he do something with a saw? We do not know how it was. God began to teach us in this particular way, even at the time of the great flood. In the New Testament of our Bible, we have very plainly Jesus teaching regarding the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. There are very specific things that are noted there, and yet there are also great generic principles. He notes to us, go ye into all the world. How we go about that travel? By way of an animal riding, by way of a jet plane flying, by way of a gospel tract being written, by way of the public speaking of the Lord's Word, all those methodologies that are used are authorized under the general principles of God that we are to practice. We do the most efficient, the things that we can afford as a congregation of people. We do those things efficiently and quietly and effectively as we honor the God of heaven in our worship of God and work with the teaching of the gospel. But notice the specifics. We're not to preach just anything. The social message of our time is not the thing he told us to go preach. He told us to go and preach the gospel, the good news about Jesus and his way, about Jesus and his sacrifice for us. Very specifically, we taught the people that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Someone may argue sometimes with the idea, well, he didn't say that he that believeth not and is baptized not would be condemned. But what is a blessing of God written in the scripture that ever comes with a lack of faith? In James chapter 1, he tells us, those that ask for wisdom, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. Plus, in Hebrews chapter 11, it is noted, without faith, it is impossible to please God. There's nothing else we can do, say, or behave, if we do not have faith in our heart. But if we have faith in our heart, that's what Jesus said in Mark 16. At 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. To honor the spiritual principles of God as to the specifics that he has given is the reason we as a congregation of people exist. We exist to call upon people by way of radio, television, gospel tracts, booklets, bulletins, classroom teaching situations, to know what God has said as the truth. As a result of embracing that, we become the people who would encourage others by way of the truth. Far too many of an earlier generation went forth to proclaim it as their message, and they really hurt and harmed this generation of time with some of those individuals who would never consider it at all because they were condemned at the time that they were taught. But if there would be use for another methodology, when you and I use some questions as Jesus used, and help people discuss those matters, we can help people to be taught the word of the Lord rather than giving commands and demands upon their time and upon their particular minds. When we find ourselves raising questions and encouraging people to consider this in the Bible and consider that verse in the Bible, there will be more study that is done and more people will be converted to the Lord. But there will be a defensive mechanism for those being told what to do and those who are being commanded what to do and those who are being demanded to be. And that includes even in the body of Christ. We'll find people discouraged by that methodology. When Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9:23, I became all things to all men that by all means I might save some. Was Paul saying that he would become a sinner to reach a sinner? No, he wasn't discussing that in that context. That context was about the methodologies used in getting the message of truth to be accepted by people. Consequently, Paul said he would become all things to all men that by all means some might be saved. Not all are going to obey that gospel. In Romans chapter 10, Paul raises this question about those, telling them that if they believe and will confess, they will be saved. Romans 10 at verse 10. But he said, how then shall they call upon him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they're sent? He mentions that this faith that people have, they can't use if they cannot be people who then call upon him and whom they've not believed. How can they do that without knowing what God has said? They've not all obeyed the gospel, he concludes there in Romans 10. So then he says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why are we preaching this morning? Why are we teaching classes this morning? Why are we writing bulletin articles that you read today? To increase that level of faith within the hearts of everyone that this is the right teaching of God, this is the right principle by which we live and behave as we live upon this earth. Why does a congregation have the right to exist if it contributes to the religious division of the time? Take into consideration in Ephesians 4, as he tells us beginning verse 4. How many of these are there? He says, there is one body and one spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is one Father who's above us all and through us all and in you all. How many bodies are there? There's one body. How many Holy Spirits are there? There's one Spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling. We're called by that gospel into a hope of salvation, a hope of joy with the Lord. Would we not be remiss if we did not teach it that way? If we taught everybody that there are many bodies and there are many spirits and there are many callings of God, would we not be also foolish and foolhardy in teaching that there's more than one Lord, one faith, and one baptism? When the scripture plainly notes there's one of each one of those elements. Who will defense that? Who will speak up for that? Who will say, wait a minute, have you considered these verses in regard to your talking about the various faiths? When Ephesians 4, verse 5 says, there's one Lord and one faith and one baptism. If there's just one, do I not need to get my Bible open and search for that one?